So, brothers, good morning. Can you all see me and hear me? Could you please raise your hands if you can? All right, thank you. I have no idea how many live stream locations there are. I'm only looking at screens on over here with places that have turned on their the video. Let us have a prayer. Amen. Lord, we come to you this morning entirely because of your mercy and grace. There's absolutely nothing that we can boast in. Lord, you are our way to the Father. You are our only access into God. Lord, we take you this morning as our unique access into your dear self, into the Father, into the triune God. Lord, we'd like to be there, and we'd like to dwell there. We'd like to remain in you as the branches would remain in the Lord. We pray that you will sanctify this time wherever we may be, these next 2 hours, the place where we meet, Lord, the atmosphere, even our whole being would be separated unto this time with you and this time of important fellowship. Lord, we like to condition ourselves now, our spirit, our soul, our heart, even our body. We like to present our bodies in a new and fresh way to you. This morning, we'd like to sense your beseeching mercies so that we can present anew, present in a fresh way our entire being, our time, our energy, our person. Lord, we're here for nothing but for your dear and perfect will. That is your economy that you want to carry out in this earth. We pray that we would notice that. Lord, we pray we would of that because of our weakness and our failures. Rather, we pray that we have the privilege to participate, not to enjoy sensing, but even to have a share in sensing you to others. Lord, we pray for our soul, our mind, our emotion, our will. Lord, let our mind be sober. Let our emotion be controlled. And Lord, let our will be subdued. We pray that our whole being would be a right condition, Lord, to be with you, to fellowship with you, and the word, Lord, our heart, that it would not be distracted. Lord, it will not be drawn to other things, but we would have a heart on fire, a heart that loves you, or a heart that desires only you, a heart that is pure, seeking nothing but you yourself. Lord, we pray for our spirit. We pray that you will strengthen our spirit into, strengthen us into our inner man. Lord, strengthen all of our spirit, that it would be exercised, that it would be seeking. Lord, it would be also unloaded and empty. Lord, may our whole inner being be peaceful and calm and right in your eyes. Lord, we just pray even for a word of fellowship today. What do you want us to talk about? And how do you want us to cover these matters? We thank you for all that you have done in the past few years in Northern California. Oh, how we praise you that whatever we are seeing and experiencing today is not because of any man's work, but truly your work, the work under your blessed hands. This morning we bless you. We sell of you, oh, the one who have granted us all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, for our enjoyment. Lord, we thank you for what you have done. Yet we also realize we have come to another turning point, another situation to go forward, to advance in the churches, in our church life. Lord, in your move in Northern California, Lord, in this turn, in this new season, we pray again for your covering. We pray for your protection. We pray for the cleansing of your blood. We overcome the enemy, the accuser of the brothers, by the blood of the Lamb. This morning we claim that blood for our covering, for our protection. Lord, surround yourself around us. Around us, protect us from any kind of attack from Satan, your enemy and our adversary. Lord, not only us brothers here, but all the saints in all the churches. Lord Jesus, we look to you to guide us this morning in this kind of beginning of this kind of fellowship once a month with a group of brothers who bear responsibility and who are charged by you, by the Holy Spirit, to shepherd the flock. Lord, to take care of your interest in their localities. Lord, we look to you to grace them, to give them a heart to pursue, and even a spirit of learning, always to go forward and never to stay where we are. Lord, we like to be regulated. In fact, we like to regulate ourselves more and more so that you can have a way through us. We don't want to be a dropout. We don't want to be, oh, a bottleneck. We don't want to be even inadvertently an obstructionist to your divine move. Lord, we like rather to be a channel through which you can flow and bless all result. Lord, we just pray and give this whole morning. Grant us the fellowship we need. Give us the instructions that we need. Charge us again. Convict us again. Teach us again. Equip us again. And perfect us again for your good work. We pray this in your dear name. Amen. Okay, saints, brothers, this is the first time we're meeting like this, at least in the way with an anticipation of the upcoming, what we would call family training. And you have heard, or you should have heard something about that, and otherwise you won't be sitting here. But this morning I would like to say firstly a few words again concerning that training, the underlying burden. And also I would like to say something to all of you brothers, why you're here and why you're under this kind of training yourself first, before the training would touch all the saints in all the localities. After a lot of consideration in deep months of this, particularly after our Surat, so-called Surat training, in the years 2015 and 2016, in which I think many of you participated, we have been looking to the Lord concerning how to go forward in the churches in Northern California. So last year, 2017, was, in my feeling, a bit of a sila, or a bit of a break, if you will, even though we continue to carry on certain perfecting trainings for the saints. You may recall we did that for generally for the English speaking, and we also have at least a couple of times for the Chinese speaking. We cover some very, very apparently basic things on the calling on the name of the Lord and also our prayer reading. Even as I say this, I would like to tell you, brothers and sisters, those two practices are very, very critical practices. They're not actually, I even hesitate to use the word practice, because that kind of description would reduce the importance of these things. Calling on the name of Jehovah and the name of the Lord is something that all saints would do, Old and New Testament. It is not even a practice. I would like to ask you, is breathing a practice? Do you practice breathing every day? You don't. You just breathe. And you must breathe. And you have to breathe well and breathe deeply for your survival and for your health. So it is not just some kind of optional practice that you do or you don't do. Gosh, all the saints are impressed to such a degree, and we are impressed to such a degree. I have actually much more to say concerning calling on the name. The praying of the word, or the musing of the word, the eating of the word, likewise, were practiced by all the Old Testament saints and the New. And it is neither optional. I mean, pray reading the way we do it in the local churches, necessarily. I don't mean that format, but I do mean the real masticating, the real digestion, the real eating, the real assimilation of the Word of God, which is the Spirit, the living Word of God, which is Christ Himself, into our being for our necessary provision and supply and sustenance. He who eats me, even he will live by me. Again, this is not a practice. Eating is not a practice. Eating is living, isn't it? And so until we treat these things in this way, the saints will either do it or they don't do it. And that is wrong. That is not really up to standard. Now, we know these things are lost in the church history, in the history of the church, but it must be recovered among us. Here we are calling ourselves the Lord's recovery, but I'm concerned that even these things are not so prevailing, not so powerful, not so effective, not so strong even among us. Nevertheless, last year we did something to remind the saints of this, and I'm sure some saints benefited from them. But I hope that the churches would not leave it now, because we've done it already. Please don't do that. In fact, daily, you yourself, we ourselves, have to practice these things, or rather live these things. And then the saints will also live them. Then we would become vital. Then we would become normal Christians. We would become vital members of the Lord's body. It's all a matter of life. So, brothers, please do not graduate yourself from these things, but rather continue deeper and deeper to find the Lord there and find God there in our calling and in our praying of the word. Now, we have been looking to the Lord since that time last year, and even the first part of this year, concerning how to go on, because the Lord is always advancing. There should never be a standstill. There should never be a kind of treading water or just carrying on things in a way of maintenance. That is a big problem in many churches. No advance. 1 year, 2 year, you go to them about the same. The things that the church life becomes routine, becomes stagnant, even become stuck in many places, even in Northern California. And that is not right, brothers. That is not right. God's people is always moving on. They're always in a journey, right? Through the wilderness into the good land. And even after they enter into the good land, they have to continue to explore that land, because that land typifies Christ, the all-inclusive Christ. And so they have to fight the enemy. They have to displace those pagan people, the pagans, and they have to gain that land. In other words, they have to pursue Christ, to gain Christ in a higher and in a deeper way. So there's no stopping. Paul, that's why Paul says in Philippians, even towards the end of his journey, that he has, like, he forgets all the things that is behind and reach forward. You know, that is a description of a runner, of an athlete, reaching forward, you know, to be the first one who touched the tape, who wins the race, stretching forward towards the a prize of a high, to a high, of a high calling, an above calling. He was reaching forward to experience, to gain the best resurrection. Brothers, this is the spirit, the right spirit, the spirit of an overcoming saint today, which always we all should be in the Lord's recovery, at least by definition. So such a spirit of hunger, of thirst, will be blessed. And I hope all the churches in Northern California is imbued with such a seeking spirit, always learning, always advancing, and never just content and satisfied with where we are. And also, without some kind of direction of movement, we will start to drift. We'll start to just bob on the ocean and lost the sense of our goal, of our destination. That's not the way we should have the church life. And so after much prayer and consideration, we brothers feel that it's time now for some more substantial, rigorous training for the saints. Now, I use the word rigorous. I hope that word would not scare you or scare the saints. Of course, we understand that we're not in some kind of a militaristic church life, although we're the army of the Lord. We understand the saints have a life, human life to live. They have many human responsibilities to take care of. We understand that, and we appreciate that. But brothers, on the other hand, the church, I say again, as God's flock, as God's army, has to make headway. We must go forward. And so for that, according to the Word of God, the most important thing that we should need to do in order to build up the body of Christ, when I say advanced, that's really what I mean, in the building up of the Lord's body, which translated in a practical way is to build up the local churches, the churches where you are. The key thing is always, just according to Ephesians 4 and other places in the New Testament, is, of course, this one thing. That is the perfecting of the saints. Do not forget the verse in Ephesians chapter 4. When Paul comes to this matter of the building up of the body, first thing he said was that gifts were given by the head to his body, not for merely for their own function, but what? For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints. Unto the work of the ministry and unto the building up of the body of Christ, which means that the gifts given to the body are mainly to for the perfecting, the equipping, the building up, the educating of all the saints, every brother and sister, from the smallest to the biggest, youngest to the oldest. Not one saint should be unperfect. Because the body builds herself, itself up in love. Even the gifts are not the builders, direct builders. For sure the Lord himself, even though he said, I will build my church, is not the direct builder. The body builds itself up. The saints, the members, are the ones who build up the body. In order to do that, all the saints need to be perfected, constantly perfected, more and more, even every day perfected under the hand of the Lord, so that they would have a share, a real share in the work of the ministry, to do the work of the ministry. That is the work of the New Testament ministry, which is simply put, the ministering of Christ into the church, into the saints, into the brothers and sisters, resulting in a building up of the body, resulting in a body living, a body life in that locality, a genuine one, not just a, not a formal one, but an organic one. And so for this perfecting, what we call a training is needed. Actually, training and perfecting, it's almost synonymous. So this is why we're burdened to almost constantly carrying out this and that kind of training. This is not just to bother the saints and take time away from the saints and, no, no, brothers, you must not think this way. If you think this way, your saints will also think this way. No, no. We need a constant perfecting so we can do the ministry's work in a better way, in an improved way, and so that we can build up the Lord's body. Now, for starting next month, we will begin a training, what we call family training. And I think a few paragraphs concerning Brother Lee's description or definition of a family training you might have seen already in the email that the brothers put out regarding this meeting or these meetings. So I would not go there. I can tell you that back in the 80s, Brother Lee was very, very burdened concerning the training not carried out by him biannually, you know, studying the books, the life studies and such. But he was talking about training carried out locality by locality, the responsibility being borne by the leading brothers to train their own saints as like training a parent, the parents training their children. So when we say family training, we don't mean family by family in the church life. We mean a family style training, a training that is that takes place in a locality as a family. And so just as a parent, just as the parents, especially a mother, who would even tutor their children or help the children in their homework, and also to, of course, to teach the children's politeness and manners and to grow up to be a proper person. And all of this, she does not do it as a professor, not even as a teacher in school, but as a parent, as a mother. And that's family training. And you all know, parents all should know how family training today is so, so lacking. I mean, in the world today. They leave it to the teachers. They leave it to the schools to do that kind of a proper training. When the schools, in my view, in many cases, are no longer qualified to do that. They mess up the kids. They teach them the wrong things. They inculcate them with their kind of ideology. They stuff them with all kinds of present-day philosophical thinking, yet at the same time, they didn't help them a bit concerning how to be a proper human being, a proper citizen, a proper child, a proper human being. So these are the things that we're talking about spiritually that we need to do. So we're going to start this family training. And Brother Lee suggested, and there are many, many ways to carry this out. We choose a certain way. And that is that we will, first of all, have a line of content for this training. And that line, much like the Surat training, in year one, we have 36 lessons in 12 modules. Each module having three lessons, and we will cover three lessons per month in the churches. So once a month, we will come together like this, maybe even with a, whether physically or we carry out something via the video like this. We brothers will come together, and we will first be here to receive some training regarding the content of these lessons, and maybe even more importantly, to receive some training in how to shepherd the saints, how to teach the saints, how to train the saints, how to give these lessons, and a host of other things that will come about when we carry out this training in the church life. basically, the burden is to use these times to even perfect us brothers in how to take care of the church life. The line of this 36 lessons is called Lessons on a Proper Church Life. Lessons on a Proper Church Life. So we will be addressing this topic from a particular angle, not a doctrinal one. There's a doctrinal way of approaching this subject, of course. We will not do that. We would rather approach this subject from a side of practice. Again, my burden very much these days is in the practice. So we're going to start with that. And I think many of you, I'm not sure, have received even the first three lessons. Have you received that, brothers? Don, have these brothers received the first lessons on a vital living? First three lessons is on a vital living. Did you receive that, brothers? I'd like to know. Some of you have received it, huh? And many of you have not received it. Can I see a raise of hands? Okay, so really not all of you have received that. Okay, we'll make sure that you will get that ASAP. The first three lessons, the first module will cover actually a vital living, you see, not from a doctrinal side. A vital living is where we need to start. The saints need to start in, all right? How to have a vital living, how to maintain a vital living for a proper church life. So we will not start covering this until next week. Next week we'll gather together again, I think in Fremont or somewhere, and we will begin our training or our learning here of this group of brothers that day, covering those three lessons. We'll touch those lessons together. I'll tell you what the main points are, the focus are, the focuses are of these three lessons. And also, I would use this time to also give you some training on speaking for the Lord, give a word for the Lord concerning follow-up of these lessons, concerning these the daily lives and the church life where you are. Now, that's what we will do, and we will cover module one in the month of May, and then we will cover module two in the month of June, I believe so, and then we will have a break because of summertime, and we will resume probably, say, in July or an August time frame. We will not have a training, therefore, that is just confined to 1 year. It may take longer than that, and I believe it will be very, very worthwhile if things are done right and adequately. Now, I like to say a word concerning you, brothers, and that is, who is qualified to be in these meetings to assist in the training, these family training in your church or in your cluster of churches? Well, before I do that, let me just finish the matter of the training. And that is our suggestion, in order to get the maximum number of saints to participate in this training and not to take another time in the week for such a training, we've decided, surely we strongly recommend to all the churches, unless you have particular unique circumstances, you cannot do it. but to have this training done as a third meeting on Lord's Day, a third meeting on Lord's Day, so that the most of our meetings is from 10 o'clock on Lord's Day to 12 p.m. I would actually suggest that we can actually add another 15 minutes so that we can start our meetings from 10 o'clock to around 12:15. Number one. Number two, I hope through this kind of training, you will actually train up the saints to come to meetings early, to give up that very, very bad and poor habit of coming to the meeting late, to the Lord's table late. What a how impolite it is, and how disrespectful it is when you're invited by the Lord to his table and you consistently show up late. And many saints today have even planned to be there late, to be there in the meeting for as the least time possible, to come late and leave early. Brothers, this is a degraded situation. This is not right. I'm not here to condemn the saints. That's not my point. But brothers, this is absolutely degraded. With some planning, with a heart for the Lord, let us go into the house of the Lord, like in Psalms, the joy, the happiness of going to be gathered with the Lord's people, to have a feast unto the Lord. How can we be late? At least we would be on time. Back in the old days, we were half an hour to an hour, and we would not be early. I'm not saying we should go back to those days, brothers, but I am saying that we have slid quite a bit over time. And that shows where our heart is. I hope even this training will recover our meeting life, brothers. Our kind of a take it easy, lay back, titi-tata kind of meeting. Maybe titi-tata can take place on a home, in a home gathering, but not on Lord's Day. Not on Lord's Day. So we need to recover how to come to a meeting even. But so if we do that, we will have a good, good, solid 2 hours, not counting announcement, not counting other special fellowship, for three kinds of gatherings back to back. Number one, the Lord's table. The Lord's table can be done if things are early and we start. Really, we will be praising the Lord before 10 o'clock. And easily by 10:15, 10:20, we will have reached the peak of our praise to the Lord Jesus. And then we can break bread, and that will still give us 10 minutes or 15 minutes to worship the Father. We want to recover the worship to the Father. So that really, by 10:40, we would have a very, very full Lord's table. Our Lord's table is often long because it drags, full of silences. It's dead. No one is praising. And we perpetuate a long meeting for no reason. If our meeting is full of the Spirit, full of exercise, brothers, even 30 minutes, it could be a very, very high, extremely rich Lord's table. You see? So, let's say we finish that Lord's table by 10:40 or so. Then we can have a good half hour. You have some announcement or something. We can by 10:45, we can have a good half hour of what we call prophesying or speaking for the Lord, according to the Holy Word for morning revival, according to the life studies that we're reading. We should be reading in Hebrews now, I think, overflow by the saints. Again, when the saints brought nothing to that meeting, those meetings tend to drag. You know, a lot of meetings, if compressed, will cover the same amount of things. It's today. It's just a dragging long meeting. It does not cover a lot, those meetings. They don't cover a lot. It's filled with holes and silences. You see the problem. If the meetings are full and filled, we don't need that much longer time, and we can cover a lot of ground. So we can do that. And then finally, we will have about 15 minutes, I would say minimum 15 minutes, or at least 45 minutes, 15 minutes, which is a typical school class kind of time. We can have a third meeting to cover this family training. By doing it this way, all the saints would be able to participate and benefit from this particular training. And so that's this training, you know, can be finished by 12 o'clock or so. Then you still have a little time for certain fellowship or announcement and things like that. So brothers, I hope all of this would not sound like demanding to us or too much. In a way, brothers, I feel that we have slipped so far that even to bring us back to something like this may feel demanding, when it really should not be demanding at all. It should be very normal, very, very normal. By the way, sometimes I like to even give a particular fellowship to the saints concerning the Lord's Day. What is the Lord's Day? Why the Lord's Day? What do we do on the Lord's Day, this day of the Lord's resurrection? Since this is the Lord's Day, we should give this day to the Lord. This is not just a day for ourselves. This is a day unto Him. We should sanctify this day, not only this morning time, but even other times, to have saints over, to shepherd people, to visit some people. The Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. You see, brothers, I may be too much, you forgive me, but we have really slipped a lot, a lot. I hope slowly, incrementally, the Lord can really recover our church life to a more normal condition. Now, then one more thing concerning this training, and that is, the training hopefully does not stop in Lord's Day and that's the end of it, but that the saints will be encouraged to get into those materials on their own during the week, one lesson a week for 3 weeks a month, and 1 week break. That these material will be very, very useful and appropriate for our home meetings, for our group meetings. It's suitable for new ones, it's suitable for old ones. It can spark a lot of fellowship and mutual teaching and mutual shepherding. So I am just suggesting that these material can be used above and beyond the Lord's Day for the church life. After all, the subject are lessons on the proper church life. Now, I turn to you, brothers. I have some thing to say concerning just who among you brothers, as brothers here, are qualified to be the ones who give these trainings, or to be in these meetings and to give these trainings in your locality. The Sarat meetings 2 years ago, we deliberately opened the door quite wide. We deliberately do that. So district brothers, even some young brothers, and all kinds of brothers came. We have 300 brothers as a result. And that was good. That was good. Today, a number of those brothers have been appointed to be elders already in different localities. Others are learners, added as learners, and others, still others, are truly becoming responsible brothers. And I thank the Lord for this. I praise the Lord for this. And this process has to continue, because our burden is to raise up more and more of the second generation brothers to bear the burden and responsibility in the leadership of the churches as how things should be. But for this training, it is not that this is not to, for any brothers to come here and just get some training and they can now go to speak. No, I would say the requirement for this training, for brothers who participate in this training and become a small trainer yourself, a small family trainer yourself, there needs to be some criteria. And I like to just mention a few, only in a general sense. There's always exception, there's always need for fellowship, but still, to just uplift our standard, I'd like to mention a few points related to our participating in these meetings and assisting in the training of the saints in your localities. This training actually, more technically, if you will, is for the young elders among us, those who are newly appointed, the younger ones. How young is young? I cannot even tell you what that is. But it's mainly for those, I would say, who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s. These are the younger brothers. I think we have many in the 40s and 30s range in particular. This meeting is not intended for those who are just interested to be, you just want to get enriched, you want to get some more perfecting, or even worse, you just want to be a good speaker. Please, this is not a meeting for you. If that's all you have in your heart, all right? We're not here just to train up good speakers. Although we will spend a goodly amount of time to have some training along this line, because that is an important function, an important service in the church life. But you must be here as one who have a heart and burden to participate in the help of these family trainings. And if you have such a heart, this training would be most useful to you, most useful to you. Number two, all the brothers in this training must have a good standing. That's a very, very general term. Good standing, but before the saints in the church life, this is not a training for new brothers or immature brothers. It must be brothers who have a few years in the church life at least. It must be brothers, by good standing, we mean who are themselves engaged in the church life in a regular and consistent way. If you are a brother who never comes to the meetings, then you shouldn't be here. If you are a brother who come when you wish and you show up a few times, you're really not engaged in the church life, in the church meetings, then I would really say you shouldn't be here. If you are barely on the periphery of the church life, then there's no need for you to be here. All right, brothers, it's not that we don't love you or we don't care for you. That's not the point. The point is this training has a very definite purpose and goal. And if you have negative feeling concerning the church, then you shouldn't be here. I'm not saying this to reject anyone or to ostracize anyone. It's not about that. This is a very important training for only for those who are right with the church, who are burdened for the church, who are very positive concerning the church life. If you don't have live some kind of a Christian life, if you don't have some kind of a church life in a healthy, in a normal, in a consistent way, if you don't have, you don't care for people, you don't, you're not concerned with the Lord's interest, then really there's this training may be a waste of time. All right. You say, well, then I won't come. Well, that's between you and the Lord, and you also must have good fellowship with the leading brothers where you are in order to participate. That said, brothers, I altogether want to strongly encourage brothers to come, especially those who are what we call the younger ones to come. I cannot guarantee anything. In fact, I'm not the trainer. Only the Spirit is the trainer. But I can say this to you, that if you come, I believe that you will be the one who will get the most benefit. You will receive the most perfecting. And in turn, your service will be upgraded. Your care for the saints, your shepherding of the saints, will be improved. Of course, this depends on your pursuit. It depends on your heart. But I trust that will be the case. Here I like to mention a verse that is in Timothy concerning how the apostle trained Timothy, his younger co-worker, in this kind of a way. This is chapter 2 in 2 Timothy. You therefore, my child, be in power in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. This is to Timothy. And then he said that, this, and verse 2, and the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. I'd like you to note this, brothers, this verse. These are the things. What things are these? These are the healthy words, the healthy teaching that Paul taught Timothy with. These things which you, Timothy, have heard from me through many witnesses, these things commit to faithful men. You have a job to do, Timothy, in Ephesus, and that is to commit what I taught you to faithful men, so that these things will not merely be a deposit in you, but they would also become deposit in these faithful men. It's deposit after deposit. Deposit going from one generation to another to another. It's passed on by Paul, number one, and two, Timothy, and number three, the faithful men in Ephesus, that local church. When that word, that healthy word, is deposited into these many more brothers or faithful men, I tell you, that church, listen to me, that church standard, that church's substance, that church's condition will just go up like this. Trust me, it will go up like this. The more brothers that are filled or deposited with this healthy teaching, and that's why we go to the training, we go to the feast, the church is as strong as these brothers are. The church is as rich as these deposits are in these brothers. So these faithful men, in other words, need some training by Timothy, not by Paul, but by Timothy. Now, it does not end here. The verse says, who, that means these faithful men, will be competent to teach others also. So this pipeline continues. These faithful men would not be where this deposit stops. These faithful men turns around and they will teach the brothers and sisters, others, all the saints in the church life. They will be competent to teach others also. So, you know, the word faithful man means trustworthy man. These are trustworthy men. And brothers, I would like to hope that in the Bay Area, or rather in Northern California, we will have several hundred of faithful men. You know, we have about 2,500 to 3,000 saints on Lord's Day, whatever the number is. If we can have 250 and to 300 truly faithful men in, I'm not even counting sisters, not that they cannot be faithful saints, but I'm just even talking to brothers, we can have that many. And I would even say, even if we don't have that many, we have 100 to 200 truly trained faithful men this way. I tell you, the church life everywhere will go up. The Lord's move in the whole Northern California will advance. Will advance. And to have that deposit, you need to be trained. You need a particular kind of training. Now, some of you have been to FTT, others have not. Some of you have been to middle age training, others have not. But regardless, I can tell you this particular training will be very, very useful to those who are pure in heart amongst you brothers, who have a heart to learn and become more useful in the hands of the Lord. Now, another point is those in this training, you should be ready to give a word to the saints. I wouldn't say how long of a word. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you should be able to give such a word to the saints. And if not, you should work on this very quickly to be able to give such a word to the saints, which means this is more than giving a prophecy. This is more than giving a few minutes of testimony. You should be able to give a very short message, okay, to the saints. Now, brothers, this is, I'm not saying this for you to become introspective, nor am I here saying that, this is a toaster's club. You know, the toasters, I'm here teaching you all to be good public speakers. No, no. This is about ministering to the saints, teaching the saints as a parent would in a home in a longer way, because sometimes it takes time to bring forth one point, to give them some kind of a teaching, proper teaching or training. So you either you're able to do that, or you have to have some capacity to learn to do so. So you have to have some self-awareness on your ability, and if not, you can have some fellowship with the leading brothers in your or the co-workers in your church or in your area. Now, in most cases, it's going to vary from church to church or from cluster to cluster. There are cases where some two brothers will coordinate to give a training message. So two brothers each will speak for 15 minutes or somewhere around there, combined to have a 30-minute message or so. I'll say more starting next week on how to use the time in that 15-minute period of these lessons. But something like this, all right? And you should be able to give that 30 minutes, and that's okay. Brothers, this is not about comparing ourselves with one another. This is about the capacity that the Lord has given to us and what the Lord has measured to us. We just fulfill that. We just do our best. All right. Now, another point is that this training, the requirement in this training, or the standard of this training, which means like a meeting today, it's higher than the Sirat. This is not just meeting of 300 people. I don't know what this final number will be, but I suggest that we all take what I fellowship this morning to the Lord and to fellowship, and you then will commit starting next week when we gather together in Fremont. All right? Whatever that number may be, I expect it definitely to be less than 300 or even less than 200. I do not know. But let us see. Now, if for some reason you are not in this training, you should not become negative. You should not become disappointed. You should not become crestfallen, right, because of it. And brothers, we should have a pure heart. We are here not for anything but for what is best for the saints and for the Lord. And so we should pray for this training, whether we ourselves are involved in this way or not. Another point is that you need to be committed to show up to these trainings, and even you would give yourself to practice what you speak. You know, when there is the side of us speaking something beyond our experience. There is that side. There is that side. Brother Lee, even, he said, some of the things he spoke was beyond even his own experience. There is that side. But in this case, when our emphasis is on practice, we ask that the brothers who are here would not just be here to learn about how to speak per se, or give a lesson per se, here to firstly learn to practice these things yourself. You may not be fully successful in them, you may not even be fully consistent in these things, but at least you are attempting, you are trying, you are exercising yourself so that when you speak to the saints, you even will have a good conscience. You're not just there telling people what to do when you yourself don't do it. That would be hypocritical, wouldn't it? However, we may not be fully successful in the practice. That's okay. But at least we're consciously, we are exercised ourselves. We are trying, right, to practice these things. Now, another point is, older brothers who may not be speaking, we actually want to give the younger brothers the chance to speak in these lessons, and not the older brothers. Sorry, I'm not saying this as a absolute thing. It depends on your situation. But older brothers who may not be speaking in these family trainings are also welcome to join this training, so that you can receive the burden and you can actually support this work, this training in your locality. Remember, I said these trainings is not just a meeting on Lord's Day, but it can spill over into our church life, into our home gatherings and such. One more thing is the elders can add more brothers as we go on. Because this or that reason that some brothers cannot join this meeting now, they can join it a month from now or 2 months or 3 months from now. That's okay. As long as these brothers fulfill these requirements, they, as I have stated already, these brothers can commit themselves thereafter. Okay, I think these points are good enough for now in terms of the practical side of things. I'm sure you have other questions. please fellowship with the older brothers and also the co-workers as well. All right. I myself, just one little testimony, started to speak like this under Brother Lee's training. When I was in my late 20s, before I was 30, somewhere around when I was 28 or so, I wasn't full time, I wasn't co-worker, I was just taking the lead in a small church in Orange County. And it was Brother Lee's love for us, to us, and also his burden for the churches and his mercy that included us at that time, some of us very young ones, to learn from him directly, to go back to our locality to do these kind of family training. I cannot tell you in those few years when we did those training how much I learned and improved in speaking for the Lord, in shepherding the saints in a local church, to build up a local church. So as a beneficiary, I really want to turn around and see many of us younger brothers benefit likewise. Now, brothers, I hope you can still be here, but we have only 2 hours. Now, I'd like to give you a word of fellowship, a starting word of fellowship, which I believe would be a good spiritual starting point related to this training. And if I would give a subject to my fellowship right now, it's three phrases. Number one, living Christ. Living Christ. Number two, ministering grace. Ministering grace. Number three, building up the body, building up the church. And by that I mean the local church, the church where you are. Living Christ, ministering grace, and building up the church. This would be, I would frame, brothers, our service. In the church life in this way, by these three phrases. Last weekend, we had an iteral training, the International Trainings of Elders and Responsible Ones in Anaheim. I suppose some of you were there, and those of you who were not there, I hope that you would get the video or to catch up with what we covered last weekend. The subject matter was to take Christ as our person, am I right? And to live Christ, am I right? For the church, something like this. And we have messages coming in from different perspectives or angles. And those of you who were there, brothers who were there, remember, I was assigned to two messages, 3 and 4. And what I was assigned, the subject I was assigned was, in fact, on the living of Christ, the living of Christ. And the other message I have to cover, the matter of the heart and the spirit of a serving one, of a leading one. But let me just stick with the first message, message 3. Maybe because I give that message, I was extremely impressed myself. In fact, brothers, even before I was assigned that message, for many years now, I've been very, very impressed. As I look back to a distinct period of Brother Lee's ministry, and that being around from 1979, 80, all the way to about 1985. So about 5-6 years period of time. In that period of time, if you go and look at the books and also the collected works of Witness Lee, you can just find the years, those volumes. You'll find that in that particular period of time, it began somewhere around when he gave the life studies to the Philippians, all right, began there, and it went all the way until when he went to Taiwan in 84, and even while he was in Taiwan, he spoke very, very much as he was burdened by the Lord on this matter of living Christ, which we know are based on Philippians 1:19. There Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So of all the apostles, Paul, no doubt Paul, spoke about the living, the experience of Christ very, very much. Of course, John did also very much. Maybe a little less so Peter. But Paul was the only one who had this utterance, "For me to live is Christ." John talked about living because of him. John talks about living in him. And even Paul himself talked about walking in him. And so on. But this utterance of living Christ is very, very particular. Now, this morning, brothers, I'm not here to, speak about that, just spending much time on that. But I'd like to say something here, brothers, assuming that you all know what is to live Christ, at least doctrinally. You have some idea. But brothers, today, I would say in the churches, in order for the local churches to be the real lampstands, the real testimony of Jesus, what is needed of the saints in the churches is that we would all live Christ. We would all live Christ. And in that message, I spent a long time reading many prayers, what I call repenting prayers, by Brother Witness Lee. Not only from that period of time, but from the 70s, from the 80s, and even into the 90s, before he died. He, in his messages, testified of how often he repented to the Lord. Not for a sinful living, not for a worldly life, no, but for a good life. An upright, moral, spiritual, even holy life. Repenting for that. Now you say, repent, what is the repentance? The repentance was that while he was successful in all these things I just mentioned, he failed in one thing. And that is he failed to live Christ. He failed to live the Lord. He mentioned that other than the 8 hours of sleep. We have still have 16 hours in the day. How much of that 16 hours do we truly live the Lord? That means it's not us living. It's the Lord living through us. But it is also us living him out, so to speak. That's not a very good English grammar. But to live out the Lord, to live the Lord, so that for me to live is just Christ the Lord. He said for him, for Brother Lee, this is back in the 80s, he said he figured about maybe 2 hours out of the 16 hours. 2 hours out of the 16 hours. That's Witness Lee. And I don't think he said that in exaggeration, you know, to make a point. He was being honest, at least to his own registration, that he did not live the Lord that much. He said in the morning he was with the Lord, he was good, he was living the Lord, and you know. And then a few hours later, he caught himself. He didn't sin, he didn't do bad things. He was proper, he was good, and yet he was away from the Lord. He did not live the Lord. He did not live Christ. So I just spent much time just to read those repenting prayers of our brother. And of course, he spoke quite much in those days concerning our lack. Brothers, do you know what is the testimony of a local church of Jesus? What is a golden lampstand? The golden lampstand, you know, the golden lampstand, right? It is made of gold, the nature of the Father. We all know these things. It has the form of the Son, because the Son is God, the Father embodied, the embodiment of God the Father. And it is those lights, you know, those lamps shining, referring to the Spirit being expressed. So the golden lampstand is actually the triune God, the processed triune God and consummated triune God being expressed in a locality through a group of people. You call it the church. And if these group of people do not express God, then that is not a lampstand. They may be good. They may be moral. They may be spiritual. They may be not worldly. But they may not be God living. They may not be Christ living in them and through them, and I would say even as them. I surely admit to failure, much failure in this regard, much failure. Brothers, but whether we fail or not, this is the picture. This is what the Lord wants. And truly, this is what the Lord's recovery is. So we need to look at that outline again, read those messages again. By the way, a good book that Brother Lee spent too much time on the practice of this is the book called Perfecting Training. Many of you know that. But that's not the only book. There are others. Also cover that living Christ is what? The practice of the living of Christ is actually to walk according to the Spirit. To walk according to the Spirit. And that makes it practical. That, of course, is in Romans 8. I remember in those 80s, early 80s, when Brother Lee spoke about these things, I remember that. I also remember I was impressed by that. But I also have to confess to you at those days, number one, I didn't know much what he was talking about. Maybe in my head, a little bit, but really, I didn't have that kind of vision. So it did not control me. It did not govern me. I was okay. I was off the hook. Number two, I also can tell you, I didn't have that much feeling for it or interest for it. My interest was more to do this and do that for the Lord. You know what I mean? This and that. Living Christ, it's kind of boring. You know, kind of, what's the big deal here? It's a little bit like Brother Lee quoting the Chinese saying, you know, playing music to the cow. I was a cow, totally a cow. And he was playing music that I had no way to appreciate. That was really the case. I was impressed, you know, when he spoke. And I have some understanding, but no feeling, no interest, no vision. It was not until after he died and many years after he died that I begin, these things begin to come back as I reread those things, to have some light, to have some awareness, to have some concern about myself and my and the church where I am and the saints, that we could be doing everything perfectly in the church life. We may even have this training called Lessons on the Proper Church Life. But we can do all of these without living Christ. Then what? Then what? You say this is too high. It is high, brothers. You say this is too deep. This is deep. But on the other hand, if this is not something of what the Lord wants, or if this is not attainable, would it be recorded in the scriptures? Would it be spoken by the apostles? No. No. Today we are veiled by so many of the by Christian religion to think that it's about a victorious life, just a sanctified holy life, just a unworldly life, just a we can even be caught in our own self-made laws or even local church code and think that by doing that we're okay, when we are actually not really living the living Lord himself. So I just say this much, brothers. I'm not here to spend that much time on it. My main burden is on the second matter, but I like to say this much. Dear brothers, we're taking the lead, right? We're bearing responsibility in the church. We're busy. We have a lot of things to do. But brothers, after all, what the Lord wants in your city, in your locality, is not just a so-called recovery church. You know, incorporated with the state of California, we got the name, you know, the church in XYZ. That means nothing. That means nothing. What is XYZ? If there's no corporate expression of Christ, living of the Lord. So the word from our brother, just like what he did himself, was to spend much time alone with the Lord, which is something I really, really want to pass on to all of you brothers. We may be actually spending more time, spiritually speaking, in the meetings than alone with the Lord. And that's not right. You and I, as those who bear responsibility, we must be the first to have private times, longer times with the Lord, to allow the Lord to touch us, to speak to us about these things, about our living, about our life, about the way we are. And leading even us to much conviction and repentance and confession. And that's what Brother Lee did. And asking the Lord to help, to remind us to live Him. Of course, to live Him is to walk according to the Spirit and so many things, so many things. Thank the Lord for calling on the name of the Lord. Thank the Lord for unceasing prayer. All these are means that help us to have this kind of a walk. But brothers, we need to have a desire for it first. We need to have a hunger for such a living, which is not for us, but so that the Lord can gain His expression in a locality, in a church that can be small, but the saints really, really live the Lord. There's an expression of the Lord. That's a real lampstand. You can have 1,000 people. You can be a mega church. Mega church. There's no lampstand there. It's just a mega church. So, brothers, please, I just ask you to touch this matter. Okay. And read these things and be before the Lord alone about this matter. If you want those material on Brother Lee's repenting prayers, I'll be happy to share that with you. Now, you know, you are with the saints. And some of us just, we have no thought of living Christ with the saints. No thought. So in one of my messages, I said, some of us are just too much with the saints. You're too fierce with the saints. That's not the Lord. It's you. It's your disposition coming out. You browbeat the saints. You scare the saints. I don't mean all of you, but some. It's not right or wrong, brothers. The question is that Christ or is that you? We don't think that. We don't think that. Now, when we sin or we did something, well, we're very conscious. Our conscience would really, really bother us. But to not live Christ, nothing bothers us. Okay, I stop here. Now, the second point in ministering grace. And for this, I would like to just read a few verses backwards from the New Testament. And you don't need to read. I'll read them. You just jot them down. The first one is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. You write it down. Each one, as he has received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the varied grace of God. So when I say ministering grace, it's based on this verse. Brothers, I'm now even starting this training now on speaking, on sharing, on perfecting the saints by way of the word, by way of our sharing, by way of our words. Here, Peter said, we have received a gift. Then he says, ministering or serving, among serving it, that good stewards of the varied grace of God. So here you have the word grace, and you know, this is a grace is also not just a Pauline word, it's also a very Petrine word. He talks about all grace, you know, Peter. So his point is talking about grace is grace, brothers, we all know is the triune God. Supply to us, enjoyed by us as our supply. To do things for us, to do what we cannot do, and live how we cannot live. So grace is the triune God coming to us. So grace and reality came through Jesus Christ in John 1:14. So we are here today in the churches to do what? To minister based on what we receive as grace. You know, the gift here is the gift of grace, some ability that the Lord has endowed each one of us according to his grace, his gifts of grace. That means free, freely from God. Something of God, something from God. And we are supposed to minister that, you know, something that the Lord has built in you, something the Lord has infused or dispensed into you, something that the Lord has added of himself into you. That's the gift. Now, we are supposed to minister that, brothers, as good stewards, good servants of this varied grace, grace in many directions, in multifarious grace. We should minister that grace and listen, not merely doctrines or teachings or any other kind of vain things to the church and the saints. This is very important, brothers. I hope you will get it. I hope you're awake. You know, in that, go take a look. There's a lesson in the book called Basic Lessons on Service, okay? Basic Lessons on Service. There is one short outline with a lesson called the Grace Ministering Service. Grace Ministering Service. It's very short. You can read it in 20 minutes. Go get that. Very, very helpful to realize, brothers, what when we say we serve the church, we serve the saints, I like to ask you, what do you do? That's why I keep saying it's not just signing checks, it's not making announcements, it's not just crafting a schedule as a leading brother. Our main service, brothers, is to minister grace. And there, in that particular lesson, I recall Brother Lee cited a few persons who are more deacons by their standing, okay? They're more deacons by their role. But even with them, they are those who what? In their own way, according to the gift given to them, they minister grace. Today, brothers, in the church, what we do is minister grace to one another. Whether it is prophesying, whether it is praying for someone, it is whether it's visiting a saint, whether it's shepherding someone, brothers, today we are here ministering grace. Grace ministering is our service. I hope you would get this point very clearly. Even in this training, the main thing is not just to pass on some points, which we will, or give them some teachings, which we will, or even give some exhortation, which we will. But the main thing is, have we ministered grace? Even with this, brothers, you need to go to the Lord. Lord, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but how much grace am I ministering to the saints? What they need is not this or that. What they need is grace. What they need is the enjoyment of the triune God to be their supply. Every saint needs grace. We all need grace, moment by moment. But these grace doesn't drop from the heaven. It comes through the members. It comes through us. We have to be those stewards who minister grace. You may stand up, a brother, giving announcement in the meeting, just giving a Lord's Day announcement. But you can give it in a way with no grace. All right? Or you can announce, make that announcement by ministering grace at the same time to the saints. There's a totally two different things with two different kinds of responses from the saints that you generate. Is there, we say to minister Christ, that's the same thing. To minister Christ is to minister grace. A lot of us need a change in our mind, in our understanding. Even when we go and have these lessons, brothers, your heart must be to minister some grace to the brothers and sisters through this lesson. But if you don't have the grace, you have nothing to minister. You just minister doctrine. You just read an outline. You just give them some points. And a lot of times without grace, things can either become dry or dead or demanding, or just they become a kind of requirement without the grace from the Lord. So I must go on because of time. I said I'm going backwards. So I now come to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, you have this word. Actually, sorry to be more, I jumped over Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, right? Where does it say something about your word seasoned with salt? Where is that in Colossians? Oh, here we go. Chapter 4, excuse me, verse 6. Let your speech, brothers, now I'm more particular now. Let your speech, your words, your speaking, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The footnote here, it says, every word proceeding out of our mouth must be with Christ and must be the uttering of Christ, who is grace. I hope you will pray read this. Now, I'm being more specific. How do we minister grace? How do we minister Christ? Brothers, we mainly minister Christ by our words, by our speaking, by our sharing, by our comforting, from our speaking, we minister Christ through the words we speak. And here it says, your speech should be with grace. That means what? It should be what? It should be always with something of Christ, some uttering of Christ, who is grace. You say, wow, this sounds very spiritual, very in the air. No, it doesn't. Sometimes when you hear someone speak, you would say there's no grace there. There's no grace there. It's not only that it is not gracious, but there's no grace there. There's no Christ there. It does not minister Christ. It ministers something, but not Christ. The utterance, there's no grace there. The speaking, it could be added to the content, the substance of the speaking. There's no grace there. Brothers, especially those of us who want to learn to speak, this is a very important point. Now, let me go on to Ephesians chapter 4, and this is verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up. Now, this is about building up the church, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. So Paul here talks about what? He said, our words, our speaking should convey Christ as our enjoyment and supply. We have to convey that up to others. So after people hear your speaking, they not only got some points and some matters, they actually receive Christ from you. And that Christ is ultimately what builds them up. You know, in the you've been to these prophesying meetings on Lord's Day. There's some good prophesying. Sorry to say, many times by ex-FTTAs. My goodness, they got the points, like boom, 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 boom. Wonderful. Really, on the truth side, it is wonderful. But I will tell you, not much grace is ministered, except the truth. Not much grace. So I didn't receive that much building up. Sometimes I hear a sister who is not a FTT graduate. They were in the Word. They have some point of the truth to share. But that word is accompanied with what? Grace. It gives grace. That word gives grace. It transmits grace. And here it says it is good for building up. I mean, that kind of word will build up. And that kind of word, it says, according to the need. That means it meets needs. It doesn't come over like this. It meets a need. I think you all have been through those situations. Just a word. 3 minutes. So much grace come forth from that saint. Just ministers to your need. It encourages you. It consoles you. It brings Christ as enjoyment to you and a supply of whatever your need is at that moment. Brothers, we need to learn to speak in that kind of a way. We're here talking about learning how to speak for the Lord. I tell you, we need to speak building up. We need to speak words that meet needs. Give grace to those who will hear us. Now, I jump over to Luke, about the Lord. When he went to the synagogue for the first time to kind of launch his ministry by proclaiming the Jubilee. You remember that in chapter 4. And so there he was. He got the scroll. He just read that morning on Isaiah. You remember on Isaiah chapter 61, right? So about the Jubilee, he was anointed and sent to preach the gospel, etc., etc., to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, so on. And after that, he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all eyes in the synagogue was on him. And he said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And he must have spoken other things. Verse 22, and all bore witness to him, to the Lord, and marvel at the words of grace. The words of grace proceeding out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? I'd like you to pay attention to these words of grace. Now, the words, no doubt, are the words that he quoted from Isaiah and that he probably interpreted, you know, that he is the fulfillment of that prophetic word. But here he spoke a few more words. But immediately it is described as words of what? Words of grace. This is the Lord Jesus. How did he minister? This is his first, almost his first message, right? He ever given. They were words of grace, passing on grace that proceeded out of his mouth. They say, who is this? This is a carpenter's son. Brothers, the fulfillment, this is a fulfillment of Psalm 45, when verse 2, it says, grace is poured upon his lips. You remember that? Grace is poured upon the lips of this Christ, of the Lord. Here is a fulfillment. And so, brothers, we learn to speak grace. And I don't mean just speak graciously, although that is a part. But more than that, is to speak grace, that our words will be transmitters or dispensers of the Christ that we have experienced as the divine supply and enjoyment. When you speak, you may be speaking on something else, not on the subject of grace, but on something. But when it comes out of you, it give grace to the hearer. It supplies them with Christ. It builds them up. It meets their need, because only God, as grace, can meet all of our needs. So I want to impress you this morning, brothers, and the time is almost up, that I like that even this family training and all you brothers learning how to speak to the saints, not even just in the training, but in other occasions in the church life, in the home meetings, in other occasions, you're prophesying, you're visiting of the saints, your shepherding of the brothers and sisters, that grace would be present. Grace would proceed out of your mouth. Grace would touch the hearers. That, brothers, my brothers, builds up the church. That builds up the church. So in the church, we do not exalt gift of eloquence, you know, good speeches, speakers, you know, people with excellent high speakings. We don't care for that. You know, Brother Lee, he speak with third grade English, deliberately. Even the Lord himself spoke with simple language. But what? But transmitting the most profound. And amongst that, passing on or transmitting actually grace itself or grace himself. You say, I don't know how to do this. Don't say that, brothers. Learn. Learn. It's time to learn. Now, you say, well, does that mean I bring my decibel down or whatever? Yes, maybe no. I'm sure if you point the finger at the saints and scream at them, there won't be that much grace. I'm pretty sure about that. So I suppose it's important to be gracious. But it's not just gracious in your style, you know what I mean, in your demeanor. But I'm talking about something that emanate from your spirit, through your heart, right? With the word of the Lord, and yet full of what? Christ as grace, and enjoyment and supply. That or share builds up the church. So I will say that much. And lastly, the last 5 minutes here, brothers, and that is building up the church. All that we do, brothers, even with this training, with our ministering of grace of Christ, our living of the Lord, firstly, as a base, we need a living to be our base. Then we speak so that we can serve. And that living and that serving, brothers, equals one thing. That's building up. The building up of a local church. Now, even as we go back to our contacts from GTCA, right? Visiting them, laboring on them. That's most important. I hope we're doing that. I tell you, the main thing is to minister grace to these new ones. They may not be able to get that much and this or that. They may be just down here needing something very basic. I tell you, grace will flow. Grace would be passed on to them, would be ministered to them. Okay? This is really for all of us. I think I can just stop here now. May I ask all of you, you're in different places, to take a few minutes until noon to have some prayer with either as a group or with your neighbors, whatever your situation is. And then I think we can end, and I will see you next week. Next Saturday, I think, right? Okay. All right. The Lord be with us all. Amen.